Mrs. Eddy once said to a class of students in her home, and I'm not quoting this verbatim, quote, "You have the power and ability to move your arm wherever you wish because your arm is the object of your own thinking or state of consciousness. Therefore, you have the same ability to control the clouds as the clouds are as much an object of individual thought as the arm." Close quote. So do you not see what a powerful instrument for good lies right here and now in our laps? And in these times of drought, storms, etc., which in themselves are nothing more than reflections of the disturbed and barren thought of mankind today, it is incumbent on each and every one of us to so conduct his thinking that these vehicles of waste and destruction shall not interfere with our individual harmony and prosperity. We cannot work out the salvation of others, but we certainly can and should protect ourselves from the effects of the world's wrong thinking. Now, drought and storms and pestilence are not the direct results of thought about droughts and storms and pestilence in the consciousness of mortals, because no mortal wants to become the victim of drought and storm and pestilence. But the barrenness of human consciousness is bound to be expressed in barrenness of earth, because the earth and all therein materially is simply the manifestation of thought. An individual consciousness barren of spiritual things, barren of peace, barren of love, barren of purity, cannot be conscious of peace and love and purity in its own creation. We cannot be conscious of that which does not exist in thought, because thought is existence. Our visible world is simply our own thoughts objectified. A consciousness which does not contain love could not experience love in its world of environment. A consciousness which knew not peace could not see peace in the world of its own creating. A consciousness devoid of spirituality and purity would be conscious of nothing but grossness and impurity in the world of its own creating. And so a world consciousness, a national consciousness, which is barren of the spiritual, the pure, the holy, the things of God, could not expect to experience aught but poverty, unhappiness, and misery. But you and I do not have to suffer because of the shortcomings and misdeeds of others. If we did, where would be our God? And if we did, wherein would lie the fruits of our understanding of Christian Science? If the world suffers because of a drought, the world must look to matter for its remedy. But it does not suffer because of drought. It suffers because of its wrong thinking. If it resorts to matter and material remedies for its answer to the problem of drought, lack, unemployment, etc., it is hewing out empty cisterns made with hands, cisterns which contain no water for the parched earth. But if it turns to God and away from matter and material remedies, then will it be blessed with showers of spirit, and the abundance of God will replenish the whole earth. It is your and my duty, as Christian Scientists, to prove to the world what an understanding of God can do in this wilderness of blasted human hopes. Mrs. Eddy often urged upon her household the necessity of overcoming the belief of weather, and of handling the arguments of the elements which find expression in storm and tempest, blight and drought. And she never taught them to work on the weather. She taught to work for the harmony of divine mind. Rain and sunshine are alike manifestations of the carnal mind. And as manifestations of the carnal mind, they can be regulated by that consciousness which understands how to take away from these carnal beliefs the elements of discord, harm, and disruption. To know that God is eternally in His holy temple, and that therefore harmony and abundance reign here and now, is depriving our material picture, the picture the carnal mind has painted for us, of those beliefs of inharmony which would render sun and rain harmful. There are times, according to human beliefs, when mankind needs the sun, and there are times when he needs the rain. You and I would not wish our work to deprive anyone of that which he seems to need to complete his sense of joy and fruition. And by knowing that everything is, here and now, eternally in its right place, that God knows naught but harmony, that harmony reigns here and now, and that that which man needs is already supplied and in its right place, we can take away from the belief of weather that which mortal mind says would make for inharmony. Our material picture, the picture which you and I have painted with our carnal thoughts, includes the belief of matter, or of weather, sunshine, and rain. All of these go to make up a materially harmonious whole. Aside from these, there exists in our picture the belief of inharmony, too much rain, too much sunshine, too little rain, etc. Those conditions are the result of inharmony in our own thinking. And through the understanding of the omnipotence of God and His kingdom, through our understanding of the presence of right ideas here and now, we are going to be able to so regulate our thinking that the beliefs of inharmony are done away with, and we have a harmonious materiality. By knowing that God reigns, that His kingdom is perfect, that there is nothing in existence but the divine mind and His ideas governed and controlled by the mind that created them, that harmony reigns here and now, that there is a supply for every demand and a demand for every supply, that one idea cannot be out of place for one single moment, that the perfect harmony and equipoise of spiritual existence reign here and now, that there is no mortal mind belief, no universal belief, no argument of sign, of seasons, or superstition, no curse, no penalty of belief, which can interfere with or disturb the perfect harmony of existence, we will bring out the expression of harmony in our belief of weather. Weather might be said to be a primary belief, harmonious and harmless. Then along come the secondary beliefs of mortal mind, such as the beliefs of animal magnetism, seasons, fear, hate, anger, malice, etc. And these beliefs, operating in consciousness, create what might be termed bad weather or a bad season, etc. It is with weather and climate, just as it is with body. We must bring out in our everyday experience an harmonious body as well as a perfect concept of climate and weather. Quote, heat and cold, Mrs. Eddy tells us, are products of mortal mind. Close quote. That's from Science and Health. By knowing that the only atmosphere there is the atmosphere of truth, and the only climate there is the climate of soul, in which is no inharmony, harm, or danger, we will handle the beliefs of extremes which mortal mind has attached to the belief of weather or climate. We must understand that man, in the image and likeness of God, lives, moves, and has his being in the atmosphere of love, of divine mind, divine intelligence, and that man can be conscious of nothing that does not proceed from that divine mind. Therefore, man cannot be conscious of the belief of bad weather, or cold weather, or hot weather. These are creations of a mind which does not exist, which God knows nothing about, and concerning which man, in the image and likeness of God, is not cognizant. Always make your mental and oral declarations of truth in the absolute. There are no relative positions or conditions in science. Man is either a perfect spiritual likeness of spirit, or he is wholly material without a hope in the world. Man is perfect. He is not growing out of a state of imperfection into a state of perfection. He is here and now perfect. And the recognition of this in consciousness is necessary to the proper application of truth. In working for yourself or for others, do not dwell in the relative. You would not think of God as anything but perfect. And so you must not think of man, yourself, as anything less perfect than God. What you claim about and for God, you may claim about and for yourself.